Yes.
Okay, that's not too bad. Not too bad. What time is it for you, Sophia? Are you, you're later?
Yeah, it's 6 p.m.
Oh, awesome. Beautiful. Not too bad time at all. How's your day been? How, what's happening in New Zealand at the moment with the transition out of lockdown?
It's still progressively becoming more and more like normal. so like we can have bigger gatherings, I think like up to 100 now. I'm not 100% sure. I'm honestly not following that well, like following it that well. I just, yeah. But most things are open, like all the gyms are open. Everything's pretty much just normal apart from a few cautions. So I think we're still on level 2 and we aim to be in level 1 soon, I believe. But we've had like no new cases for like a week. So yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. How about in Europe? How are you, what's happening over with you ladies over there? Are you in lockdown or is stuff opening up?
In Spain, we're getting out of lockdown progressively.
Yeah.
So we are now, Granada is in phase 1 and tomorrow is going into phase 2. So we can have little meetings with friends and restaurants can have like up to 50% capacity. Oh. So we are in transition.
Good. Nice.
Yeah, but my mom is a nurse and she says that there is no new cases at the hospital.
That's good. Yeah, some people have been concerned about a second wave, but that's good to hear there's not new cases coming through. Mm. The same in Paris at the moment?
In Paris, yes, they stopped the quarantine since the 11th of May. And from tomorrow, they're going to let people go to restaurants and have more freedom, but we still have to be careful, and we don't see a second wave as it was predicted. So I think it will come step by step, and actually for me, even if I stopped the quarantine, I didn't went to my work. I continue working at home, and I think from next week, we have to go 1 day a week, 2 days a week. I don't really want, but
I don't want to go back to work and commuting.
Yeah. I prefer to work from my home.
Yeah. How are you finding everything, Amanda? Is things getting a bit more back to normal for you?
Yeah, kids are back at school. So that's yay. Everyone's happy there, but no, it's pretty good. Yeah, we're fine. Same as you, probably. Yeah, with all the. And tomorrow we've got all the restaurants opening. I think is it a lot of restaurants are opening? Oh, they can have more, we can have more now. Yeah.
There was already some stuff opened up over this weekend. I was out in Bondi. Bondi was really busy over the weekend.
Yeah, I can imagine.
All the girls dressed up. They're like, we get to go out again. All the bars and restaurants were, you know, obviously there's only a limited number of people, but they were full to the extent they could.
Yeah, it doesn't look like people are social distancing that well. I went up to, I'm in East Ryde, so I went to Macquarie Centre and it was pretty busy there.
Yeah, I was today, and yeah, I was on the bus and there was all signs of where people were supposed to sit and people were just sitting everywhere. So fingers crossed.
They do. Yeah, I know. It's unlikely. I think, you know, there's hardly any cases here, so well, we're pretty lucky.
Cool, good.
Yeah.
Hi, beautiful. So the way, hopefully we might get I think hopefully Kylie or maybe Danielle will be joining us, but we'll just start and see if people come at a later point. Let's start with, as you know, I like to start on a positive note. We'll go around and share. I'll get each of you to share something you want to celebrate, something that you've achieved or created or done that you're feeling proud of, something you've shifted within yourself, feeling good. There's something positive that you want to share with us all that you're feeling good about. We'll give everyone a chance to go around and do that. And then we'll open up after that for you to get support with what you want, some coaching guidance and things around. So I will just mute everyone so that we don't have background noise coming through. But who would like to go first? You can just give me a wave, whoever would like to kick off today. Amanda, rock and roll, love. I don't know if you can unmute yourself or.
Yeah, I think I updated Zoom, so it's just I had to press done. No, I'm feeling really good. I think May was quite tough, so I'm really proud that I sort of got through it. Like, it was a wobble, weird month, you know, started good, went like this, you know. So I just feel good that I stayed steady and kept my routines, and it makes me feel very confident about, yeah, continuing that for the next months coming. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would give you a sense of almost confidence and security, knowing that even if life does bring you that, you know how to maintain your center.
Yeah, I've got that stability now, that a good grounding. I feel like there's things I can go back to no matter how I'm feeling that will lift me and make me feel steady. Yeah, I think that's a good grounding. Yeah.
Really good. Can I just ask, because I'm curious, can you share maybe like what's one example of that, one thing that's been working super well for you?
Well, I always journal in the mornings. So, and I've done that on and off for many, many years, but I'm like, really now I need it. I really need it. I have been using the Oracle cards quite like almost daily as a way, especially, yeah, well, more recently daily, not so much before, but as a way of giving me something good to focus on, something positive. And the exercise, obviously, the routine I've done with that on my own, the yoga, and then I've been alternating days of doing like either a jog or yoga and a walk. So, and that just really makes me feel fantastic. And just trying to introduce more things like that, but they're really basically my steady. Once I feel like I've done those things, it feels like then I can get through the day. And then at the end of the day, making sure I've started to acknowledge.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Acknowledge my achievements. Yeah, really ticking things off lists.
I love you doing that. Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Okay. Who would like to go next? Bianca, I can see you looking at me. You ready to go? I don't know if you have to unmute yourself. I'm not sure if it's done updates or.
Okay, now. Okay, so I wanted to celebrate that I have been waking up early recently, like maybe for the last month. And that has been something very challenging for me in the past. Like, I couldn't wake up like before 10 or even 9, and I have been waking at 7 or 8. And now that spring is here, it is there is light at 7 a.m. So it is very nice to wake up with the with the light, and yeah, I'm proud of myself for that, because I'm moving into waking up earlier.
Beautiful. And are you using that to have like a morning time, or are you just enjoying having more like a morning routine, or do you just like having more time in the day?
Not yet. It's because my classes are starting earlier, but I'm considering doing a morning routine, but I need more time yet, because it's so challenging to wake up without like a reason, no? Like if I'm not obliged to wake up early, it's like sleep is so good. So yes, I'm still. But it is something that I would like to do in the future, like maybe wake up 1 hour earlier and do some meditation, or maybe go for a run.
Yeah, beautiful. But I think the fact that like what you're celebrating is that you've already been practicing getting up earlier. I mean, as you start training your body into that, as your body then gets into the routine of waking up earlier, then you can start to add in things and change how you use that time, or then get up a little bit earlier again. But it's great. You're just beginning to get your body into that routine. Because that's the starting point, I find. Like, before I set up a great morning routine, I had to get my body used to waking up earlier. That was kind of the first. Yeah. That's a great starting point. Awesome. Thank you. Fatimata has ducked away. So, Sophia, looks like you're going to be, unless who wants to go next. So, beautiful. Go for it.
Cool. May has been kind of like a heavy month for me. But in saying that, so there's been like a lot of contrast, and I'll upload my like my June intentions, and it'll kind of go into a little bit more. But one, like, something I'm celebrating is that I kind of got through it in one piece, and it has highlighted a lot for me. Like it's kind of shown me a glimpse back into my old self and highlighted how much I've changed and how much I've grown, which has been really, really nice. And something recently that happened is just being me becoming super aware of how I am when I'm connected with my inner being and how I am when I'm not. And like that shows up for me, I think I've talked about before, is when I'm around other people and I get influenced by other people and it kind of like pulls me out of my little bubble. So yeah, that kind of has just been highlighted to me a bit more recently, and I'm becoming aware of it almost instantaneously when I get pulled out of it. Whereas before it could take like a day or a week or 2 weeks and I'm just like lost myself completely. So yeah.
Beautiful. That is, that's so powerful. I mean, I think I've shared this before numerous times, but I remember when I heard Gabrielle Bernstein speak live in Sydney, I went to hear her talk, and she talked about how we fall out of alignment. And she says, it's never about how often you fall out, it's how quick you come back.
Yeah.
That's how we measure, you know, our progress, because we're going to fall out of alignment all the time. But when you're caught in that distance, when it normally takes you a week to come back to yourself, but now it only takes an hour or 10 minutes, like that's beautiful progress. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yes, that's good.
Well done. Beautiful. Yeah. And it's a sign that you're strengthening and embodying more deeply that energy, because it's now more familiar and it's easy to find it. So it's a stronger presence in you now, which is a really good sign. Beautiful. I can see Danielle logging on. Hello. Nice to see you. I'm going to go to Fatimata and then we'll come to you, my love. And we're just celebrating what we're proud of at the moment. So we'll circle around to you in a moment. All right. Fatimata, my darling, do you want to go and share with us? Beautiful.
Yeah. I think if I have to celebrate something, it would be the same as Bianca. So since I think the quarantine helped me to build some habits, I'm able to wake up earlier. I woke up, I think, at 6 a.m. every morning, and I have 3 hours for me, free time before starting to work. So I have 1 hour for myself, so, you know, some meditation and so just some lectures, and I read a little bit, and then I took two courses. One is on the basics of graphic design, because I like it. I think it will help me later for what I want to do. And the other one is it's a self-management. How do you call? They call that. It's it's branding yourself. Self-management lesson. So yes, and I read a lot. So so I'm pretty happy about that, because I did it. I think now since a few weeks, and sometimes when I feel tired, for example, I just woke up at 7 and at 6, I feel like something is missing. So I think I'm starting to, you know, to have this habit. And if I don't do it, I feel like not okay. Yeah. And yes, and I think I'm more connected to my intuition. I feel that I know myself better, and I know what I don't want, and I know it's not 100% clear, but I think I'm starting to see what I want, so it's nice. And yes, I think I feel more confident, because I know better myself, and I know my weaknesses and my strengths, and I would say before I will be ashamed of my weaknesses, and now it's okay. I can deal with that, and it's okay. I cannot be perfect. So I like to play with the imperfection of myself. So it's okay.
Amazing. That's a whole heap of celebrations. That's awesome. There's heaps of things in there. I love that. And the the creation of that morning time, it does, it sets this foundation then of our relationship with ourselves, and it does, it makes us more in tune with our intuition. It helps us get more clear on what we do and don't want. So I think that's a beautiful foundation that you're building. And I think your whole journey through this mastermind, you've been clarifying a lot around, I know we spoke a few weeks ago, but clarifying a lot around, yeah, what you do want to be doing with your work and your business. And I'm even reading an Abraham Hicks book at the moment, and in there they say it's great to know what you don't want, because it actually does help you get more clear about what you do want. So even if you start out knowing a lot of what you don't want, in time that really helps you then see what you do want instead. So even that is a great starting point. Thank you for sharing. Lots of awesome celebrations in there. Love it. Beautiful. All right. Danielle, would you like to share with us something you want to celebrate, something you're feeling good about, feeling proud about?
Hi, everyone. Sorry, a few technical issues, but here I am. Yes, I would love to share. I guess I'm proud of and want to celebrate seeing myself grow this month, I think, especially in the middle of complete uncertainty. I think the caterpillar butterfly metaphor is at a new level. You know, definitely in the total liquid phase at the moment, but I guess that surrender and open to receiving support in a new way at the moment, especially in an uncertainty. I think I've noticed how much I've grown in this space, because I definitely used to default to complete shutdown and protection, where now I'm seeing how much I'm letting synchronicities come into place, but for my spirit as opposed to my physical outside world. So it feels like a really big transition that I've really set up the right framework and dropped into my feminine a lot more around that. So it's definitely something I'm really proud of. And then I guess in a practical sense, something to celebrate is a lot, seeing myself speaking up more, especially at work, speaking up about what I want, what transition looks like, and all of those pieces, as well as with family, you know, setting those really clear boundaries, but allowing myself to be to surrender at the same time. So it's been a really beautiful time in retrospect. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I remember vaguely we did talk about this in the last call, but you know, sometimes we get put in these situations that are really challenging. And I know there's been a lot you've been navigating that at the times felt challenging. But when you can just embrace it and lean into it, and then you realize there's this incredible growth opportunities in there, which you've embraced and found experience this beautiful growth in yourself that wouldn't have happened without sort of the challenging dynamics that you've been navigating. So I think that's when we get that opportunity to realize, you know, to see the blessings in whatever we're going through, no matter how hard it is. So it's beautiful to hear you come out sort of the other end of this month and be at that point with all of that. So well done.
Yeah, thank you.
A lot of inner work to get to that point.
Yes, and a lot of support. I think that's been the biggest piece, is making sure the right people are around and being open to receiving that information and taking the time out for myself, as everybody's kind of touched on. I think that's really been key.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, it's nice to look back and know what have been the things that have really helped you. And when you can see that, you're like, okay, that's a key part of it. I'm also going to need to move forward.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful share. Okay, good one. All right. So you may have come onto the call really clear what you would like support with, considering this is our last group call. We have the bonus class, but our last group coaching call. So you might want to think about either just something that's really present for you right now that you'd like some help with, where you're feeling stuck, where you want some tools or support, or you might be starting to think about beyond the mastermind, what you want help with to move forward. I'm sure you've got an idea in yourself already of what you're wanting to talk about. But if anyone feels like they're really clear and they are ready to go, just give me a wave and we can dive on in with what you'd like support with. Amanda. Oh, off you go. Bye.
Sorry, I have to do it too. It's new on Zoom. I have to undo it.
Do I have to ask and then you have to unmute?
I think so, yeah. I just upgraded it as I was logging on, so it's something new, and I'm not very good at it anyway. So I want to know advice on this detoxing sort of thing, like, because I'm similar to you, where I want to get better, I want to get healthier with food and my body and stuff, and that's a really big thing for me. Like, I love food and things, so I'm not very disciplined. I mean, I'm pretty healthy most of the time, but then like in the last few years I've sort of had this afternoon bingey thing, and I'll just eat whatever's there, basically. I'll just, if something's there, I will eat it. And yeah, I've got to undo this, and I don't need it. I'm not even hungry most of the time when I'm doing it. I'm unconscious, you know, and just want to escape. But I'm sort of, I have started to change it already, but I guess if you've got any tips on how to keep maintaining things and how you've, I don't know, you might be able to offer up some advice on how you've done it before. I've only ever done one detox in my whole life. After I had my first child, I just wanted to get healthy, and it was part of a yoga course, and it was a liver detox. So it was pretty full on. I did do sort of one after I had my son as well. I went to the Golden Door retreat, but that was like, you know, so it was a bit of alcohol, no alcohol and just nice food and stuff. I won that, so it was very nice. But that's all I've ever done. Like, I'm just, yeah. So I've always been, yeah, just, I'll just take whatever, I'll just eat whatever. And I never had much trouble with my weight until probably after my second child. So I just really want to be clean and look after myself. I exercise. I'm healthy in lots of other ways. So it's like the last frontier.
And why is it important to you? Just give me, just clarify that for me.
Oh, I just want to feel good about myself again. Like, I do want to lose a little bit of weight, but it's I can feel nice in my clothes and feel good in my body again. But I think I used food very much as a, I sort of got into this habit, and I think I used it like a, it's like I've put on weight as a protection, like a numbing, you know. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really think about it, because I'd never really thought about what I was doing eating wise in that sense. And now I realize that's what I think it is. But it becomes this, you know, and I really later on in night I'll go, why do I do that? Like, it actually physically hurts sometimes if you eat too much. So yeah, which is something. Yeah, so I don't, you know, it's not crazy, but it's enough for me. And then I don't feel everything as much, so I'm trying to listen to my body more, but and to hear it more. I need to be, yeah, in touch with it. Yeah.
So yeah, this is, I get this message often from my body. It's this intuitive calling almost to clean up the channel, because we, regardless of like food rules and everything, what you should and shouldn't eat, blah blah blah, which is a whole different conversation. Sometimes just intuitively we know that things we're doing and ways that we're eating are blocking us, and we're using that to numb out, and it's our vibration lower rather than helping elevate our vibration, right? So there's something
exactly
in your body that's kind of trying to tell you something's out of alignment here for you.
Absolutely.
So I just want to go into that specific part around, does it feel like it's emotional eating? Or does it feel like it's eating over a feeling? What is the desire to eat the food, or the more than you want to?
I think it was an unconscious thing in the first place, but then as I sort of got less and less happy and my weight just went up basically steadily every year, I put on another kilo, and that's happened for like 8 years. And it's like, you go, and I'm not happy with it. I've been watching it go, and I'm like, oh, you know, and I've never had to work that hard to lose weight in most of my life. Obviously, I'm getting older now, so that's not quite the case. But also, I think I'm just, you know, it's the things I'm eating then. So, and it's just the unnecessary eating. Yeah, so I think it stemmed from an emotional, I was going through, yeah, after my son, I was quite emotional, was born. He has a disability. But it's not a major disability or anything. He's just short statured. So, but it was quite, I think it was quite a shock for me, and going through all of that. And he was a bit more of a difficult child. Like, it was pretty full on. There was something emotional definitely in there, but, and it was an escape. And perhaps there was also at the same time, I think that was after my first album, and I didn't really do anything much with the mark. Like, I feel like I felt like it failed, I guess, a lot of the way. So it was me, I think, trying to escape from that as well. So there's a couple of major things in there.
Really well. And you said before that you felt it may have been linked to a feeling of protection.
Yeah, that's what I felt more now, like as it's gone on, because those issues, I've sort of dealt with those. I'm very happy as mum. My son's beautiful. He's happy boy. And also I'm on with my new album. I'm very feeling very positive about that. So I'm kind of, although this is part of why I'm here, but so more now I feel like it's a numbing. It's like it's a habit, obviously. That's one thing. But then it's now I feel like it's more a numbing because it makes me feel so bad that I've got used to that bad feeling. That's like a change. It's scary, you know, to change, which is stupid because that's what I want.
Okay, it's scary to change. It's more comfortable and familiar to feel the more lower negative feeling than it is to feel like what you're vibrant.
Yeah, what I used to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah, yeah, always. Yeah. Sorry?
You felt that feeling before? Of-
yeah, I never. Yeah, I used to always be like very vibrant and very. I never had that issue. So for me, it's like I've waded into it, sort of. And end up there, realize I'm there, you know, and gone, well, how do I get myself out of this hole, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel at the moment if you were to step into being your vibrant, energized, alive self? How would that change things versus the current energetic
state you're in? It would be so much nicer.
Yeah, but what would it open up for you? Why might you be protecting yourself from stepping into that expanded self?
Yeah, I guess it's just a fear of unfamiliar, or for now, you know, it felt safe to be. I think it felt safe to be like that, but I know I'm not happy like that, and I'm certainly not. So it's going through that, and I have started to implement. It's just been going for so long, and I just like to stay. You know, on the straight and narrow, I suppose. And I know that's not going to be necessarily perfect. I don't have to be completely perfect, but I just want to, I've never really navigated this sort of thing much in my life. And I just, without going on, I don't want to go on massive diets and things like that and go crazy. I just really want to honor my body and listen to it. And
yeah, beautiful. That is a beautiful intention. I want to honor my body and listen to my body. My experience of eating in an emotional way usually means I'm actually quite disconnected from my body and I'm not paying attention to what's going on. If the process of eating became a very conscious process where you were very in tune to how you were feeling, to what your body was saying in that moment of I haven't had enough, or this doesn't feel good to me, or there's something else I'd rather eat in this moment that would make me feel more aligned. And you know, this is sort of has to become a bit of a consciousness mindfulness kind of thing. But some more awareness around the process of eating, relationship to food, in the moments you're making food choices, in the moment that you notice whatever the discomfort is that fires off, the thing that makes you want to go and eat over it. It takes a little bit of work to be able to catch that in the moment. And breathe into what you're feeling and notice if there is actually a discomfort that you're trying to avoid or wanting to numb out from. And instead of using food to soothe that feeling, using another practice, whether it's 5 deep breaths or stepping outside for a nature walk or playing on a song and dancing, something else that will nourish you. And I think actually identifying what is the feeling you're wanting to feel through the food. Is it relief? Is it comfort? Is it safety? Is it nourishment? And having some other ways that you can still give that same feeling to yourself. I don't believe in just eliminating the food and then you're left being like, ugh.
Yeah.
Finding a more nourishing, healthy way to give that to yourself. It actually come back into your body too, because I find with the eating, I'm escaping. I'm always up here, like I'm escaping and I'm like up in my head.
That's right.
When you come down into the body, actually, even if it's just like 5 deep breaths, grounding your feet on the floor, and then asking your body, what was it you'd said before that was so beautiful? Like, what would honor my body? What would nourish my body? What does my body want?
Okay.
What would help me feel vibrant and energized? I just feel like there's a deeper connection. I think the body's trying to guide you. Escape the body. Yeah. Hear that.
Yeah, because I used to, because I'm very much a gut feeling sort of person, and I remember I used to feel it, and it is a very vulnerable way to be, and that might be why I covered up and sort of, I think that's part of it. Like it's this vulnerability that I was covering up from and hiding and running away from anything that was just an escape, numbing, and it's just, and it's short lived, but it's, yeah, it's really damaging. So I don't want to do it anymore. Just over it.
When that part of you comes up, how would you like to soothe and support her rather than, say, using food to numb out?
Yeah. Well, that's why I've been trying to think of the meditation that I need to do. Which I have hardly done at all. I've talked about doing meal a day in the afternoon. I've done it a few times, but it's like we need to slowly sneak it in there.
In the moment, right? In the moment where suddenly the desire for the food or something's there, I'm feeling vulnerable, I'm feeling something. What could be something you could do for yourself in that moment to soothe and support that part of you that would normally reach for food to numb out?
I think I just need to maybe get a cup of tea and go outside. You're right, you know, just be in nature or meditate. I'd really love to meditate, but even I could do that outside, I suppose, yeah, as well.
Or even just listen to her. I used to be such, I had a whole history of eating issues and emotional eating and everything, and I would just sometimes pause and try to talk to the part of myself that was driving me to the food.
Yeah.
Actually just understand, okay, what's going on for me right now? What am I feeling? Sometimes I was anxious. Like I was barely breathing and I'm like, give me something to numb this out. And I'm like, Connie, you're anxious. All right. Just take a couple of deep breaths into that. Okay. And if I actually notice what I was feeling and then be like, okay, what do you need? What can I do for you that will help you? And actually communicate to that part of myself that was feeling scared or vulnerable or upset in that moment.
Yeah.
Something's firing off in you.
That's right. Because I know it passes. If I can get through that, if by distraction or something else happens or whatever, and I physically can't do it because I've got to be somewhere or what, I get past that point. I'm like, yay, you know, ooh, I was didn't even need it. There you go. I got past it. It's like, but if I'm on my own and you know, often, because you know, I am doing a lot of this stuff on my own now. And so, and it is when I'm on my own mainly that I do this, you know, because I don't want anyone else to see it. you know, but it's sneaky and it's kind of, you know, all those sorts of things that we have going on. So, yeah, if I get past it though, I know that it's gone and I don't miss it at all. So I know I can get past it. It's just, yeah, so I will. That sounds really nice. I'm gonna work hard at having a good chat with myself and asking my body.
I also remember years ago I did an interview with a friend of mine, Cassie Mendoza-Jones, and we were talking about this emotional eating thing, and she mentioned that, and I think pretty much all of us do it. We eat in private, we eat by ourselves. And
oh yeah.
And she said she made a commitment that anything she was going to eat, she was going to eat it around someone else. So there was no more eating by herself. And she'd get a bag of biscuits and go sit in the car. And she was like, no, I'm going to go sit in the car and eat these. And it made her stop eating them by herself anymore, which is a bit of a hard thing to do. But that really broke it for her. I remember hearing that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I am left to my own devices quite often. But, yeah, if my husband comes home middle of the day or whatever, and, I'll be like, oh, I can't be seen doing this. It's so true.
So yeah. Ask you, because I know you're doing your nutrition training, if there's anything that you wanted to share or offer. You may not, but if you did want to offer anything on that as well.
Wait, did you say me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like my name was cut out.
I know that you've been studying your nutrition certificate.
Yeah, and I was supposed to I was supposed to fill in one of the forms, which I actually just did it over the weekend, and I was meant to catch up with Sophia, and I haven't done it yet. I've been very bad. So I'm getting onto it, Sophia, so I'll be chasing you up.
Yeah, and that was really interesting to hear, like, the conversation you guys have had. And like you say, it's very common for us to do this by ourselves. Like, I know I do that too. Yeah, something that has helped me is asking the question of why, like, why am I doing this? And often there is emotion is attached to that. And it's kind of delving into what that emotion is. And so it's basically what Connie was saying. I'm sorry, I'm so like in the listening phase right now. I'm not in like the explaining phase.
Ask in case you had any things come up as we were talking, but if you guys are also going to have a session.
Yeah. It's something like I would really like to go into, because I know that there's some layers to this, and I feel like there's even something now that has been held back. So yeah, definitely I want to go into that more, and I think we could kind of get to some more like root causes behind it, but yeah, right now I'm totally
Amanda, that's a great question, something that I'm sure we all really relate to as well.
Thanks.
All right, Fatimato, I think I did see you wave before. Do you want to go next? You do? Ask to unmute. Does that work? Yeah, beautiful.
For me, I think is because I didn't share a lot on social media, so just to tell you what is in my mind for my project. For me, I think I'd like to build a community and share some information, share some tips and tools for people to highlight themselves, but as introvert people. And especially through through design, easy design, you know, with a kind of self-expression, but with images. My point is, I feel like I'm not a specialist now. I mean, I have to learn a lot. I would like to start. But I feel like I need to do some progress on myself before, you know, sharing to others. And I just want to know and see how can I start, even if I'm not, the experts now, actually. Yes, this is where I would like to understand. And maybe I can, because I don't want to quit my job now, I think I need to take the opportunity to use my actual job just to make a kind of laboratory, you know, where I can practice what I would like to do at final. How can I be comfortable about that, you know, I'm not being an expert, but I feel like I need to work on on this, and this is where I will feel comfortable. So,
yeah. Great question. I reckon everyone would be thinking the same thing, and I've struggled with it a lot. And in fact, I still don't feel like an expert in a lot of ways. And sometimes it's even useful to think about, what does this idea of being an expert look like in my head? Like, who do I think I need to be, or where would I need to be, or what would I need to know to be an expert? Like, it's actually quite hard to define. And so sometimes we set this standard of who we think we need to be before we can start to teach. But sometimes it's a bit of an unrealistic standard. It's not even defined. We're kind of like, I don't know, when do I get to the point when I'm ready? Versus, and this is what helped me when I started, is that there may still be a lot of things I need to know to teach, you know, certain things. There's a lot that I have to learn to become an expert. But I had to look at my journey and how far I had come when I started teaching like 7-8 years ago, and look at what I had done up until that point. Yeah, there was still so much ahead of me. But what had I been practicing and what did I know? And if you were to look at your journey that you've walked, anything that you've practiced in yourself that has helped you, like where you've got to now, right? The place you've brought yourself to now, that whole journey you've walked qualifies you to teach that. If you know, were once really shy and then you learned how to speak to groups, okay, you can teach about that. If you once, you know, didn't know how to get up early in the morning and now you get up and you can have this morning routine, you can teach about that. Like all the things that you have practiced, you have that experience now. You have things that you have created and achieved in your life that other people maybe haven't yet. And so the people that you end up teaching are sort of the people that you were maybe a few months ago or a few years ago, right? They're the people that are kind of behind you a bit in the journey. Maybe they're the people who are the introverts who are still struggling with communicating and expressing themselves or expressing their creativity. But if you've already figured some of that out and you know how to do that, then you've got a lot to teach them. So we might have this idea in our head of what it looks like to be an expert and who I have to be, versus actually looking at our journey and the work we've done and what we've already started practicing. And then we can share that with people. And we don't ever have to share from a place of, you know, I'm perfect, I know it all. We share. I like to share from the place of I'm still doing the work. I'm still growing. I'm still figuring it out. And I'm going to commit to my inner work and I'm going to keep showing up for that. And every time I learn something new, then I can teach it to you, to my audience. Every time I have a new realization or I practice something new. And so that keeps us accountable to keep doing our work so that we can continue to be able to be an authentic teacher to our audience. But you start with what you know right now. You start with what has worked for you up until now. Can you see some things in your journey or things that you've practiced that might now be helpful to share to some other people?
I'm kind of a girl who always wants to improve, and I even sometimes I feel like I'm not. If I look in my past and I see and I compare with where I am today, I met a lot of modest changement. I go back to school. I did a very complete different job. It was I was a flight attendant, so nothing to compare with today. And I enjoyed my job actually, but I felt like something was missing because I quit schools after the, I think it's bachelor in the, I don't know, in my third year's graduation, but I feel like something was missing, and I thought that okay, at that time I didn't have a kid, and I said okay, I need to go back to school now, even if I don't like my job, because I will regret all my life. So I did it. I worked a lot on that. I went back 2 years, two complete years, and it helped me to. It was a good decision, because I actually what I'm working as a project manager, and I went outside my comfort zone. I will never thought to be a project manager before, because for me organization is quite I struggled a lot before, and I struggle a little bit now, but it's I made a lot of improvements. So what can I learn is that just go outside your comfort zone, and even if you're too shy, too reserved to talk about your personal life, you can express, you find some topics on which you can express and still feel like preserved. I can teach that, and as well about design. I'm not a designer, professional designer, but I feel like I have some knowledge, intuitive knowledge about that. So, I feel pretty confident about synthesize information on pictures. You know, do infographics or to do good presentation, you know, and I feel pretty confident about that. So I don't know how I'm gonna teach it, but it's just express yourself through images. And it would help you to then highlight yourself.
100%. And I promise you would know a lot more about design than I do. I mean, you would have so much to teach me. We've got to remember either that we think everyone already knows all the stuff that we know, but a lot of people don't. Even the journey that, like, all these key moments you've had in your life, of a moment that you realized something was missing and you had to make a change, that's a big moment. And a lot of people have those moments, but they're too scared to make the change. So if you've done that, you can help people who maybe at some point in their life encounter that and they don't know how to take a leap or follow their heart or figure out what they want. Or what was the other story you told? My mind's going blank. I feel like it's right here. I was like in a train of thinking. What was the other moment? The project manager, yeah, taking on a role that previously you're like, I couldn't do that, I wouldn't be confident enough for that, that's outside my comfort zone, but you stepped in and you did it. And so there's a lot of people out there who want to try a different job and want to do different things, but they're scared and they stay inside their comfort zone. And so the fact that you've walked that journey, that's something that other people would love to hear about. How do I get outside my comfort zone? How do I build my confidence? How do I express myself more? So I would actually encourage you to journal and reflect over your life. Any time that you've had either a challenging moment and you've been able to overcome a challenge, any time you've had a big turning point in your life and you can see that there was a big change that you went through, any time that you know you've overcome something in yourself that once used to stop you, and you look back over your life and you realize there's so many like stories and things that you can tell people and learnings that you can gain from all of those experiences, and that becomes what you start with when you go to teach.
Okay.
So as you know, any knowledge you have, whether it's on design and infographics and all the stuff that you know, start with what you know. And then we build our confidence along the way. We just keep stepping in and teaching it. And then we get feedback and people are like, that was great. That really helped me. And we're like, okay, cool. I'm going to keep going then. So the more that you get out, then just start sharing stuff. And then you see that it helps people. It will give you the confidence to keep going. And then you keep learning more. And then you have more to share.
Okay.
Yeah, is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I look forward to hearing that, guys. Thank you for your question. Awesome. Beautiful. All right. I'm just going to sip out of my gigantic water. And I'm trying not to laugh as I'll spit it everywhere. Who would like to go next?
I can go.
You go.
All right. Okay. So I'm pretty sure I would have talked about this before, but it seems to be quite a recurring thing for me. And I just spoke with my mom before this as well, and she's like, if it keeps kind of showing up, you know, like it's there to remind you of something or tell you something. So I thought this is what I'd talk about. So basically, just in general, me being able to connect with people, more specifically in regards to vulnerability. So I find it, and I notice sometimes even on a call, I will struggle to like make eye contact through a call. And yeah, especially with people I care about as well, or I'm just like energetically drawn to, I'll find it really hard to kind of lower my walls. So whether that's like with my mom and she just needs some support or something like that, or I want to be honest and share something, I just feel like very guarded. Or if it's with like friends or just someone, yeah, again, like someone that I just feel energetically drawn to, I just put these walls up and my mind goes blank. I can't like connect with them, I can't make eye contact or hold it. And I slip into that part of myself that is not me, like I mentioned before. So I think I would like to work on that and find tools or reminders to help me, to help allow myself to be more vulnerable and feel safe in that. I think part of me just feels really tense and really fearful when that comes up, like instinctively fearful. So yeah.
And when you say you feel like you're guarded, what do you feel like you are guarding? So with this guard that you put up, what are you guarding? Is it more than putting it up?
I think I'm afraid of being hurt, rejection. I think there's some inner child protection there, of maybe when I was younger and I didn't feel accepted and I didn't get have the protection I needed. This is kind of blowing my mind a little bit as I'm saying it. Yeah, I feel like there's a part of me, it's not me now, but there's a part of me that still feels like it needs protecting, because it just didn't get that at the time.
Yeah. So it felt, you felt not accepted and rejected, were they the feelings?
Yeah, and like in general, just outcast. So yeah, those would be the.
What did that look like? What did you see that showed you and made you feel like you were outcast, not accepted and rejected?
I think partly would be maybe not feeling understood, or because I've always been quite a sensitive person and a very sensitive kid, and I don't think people understood that. And so when I would show my sensitivity, I wouldn't feel like that was supported or carried, and I didn't know how to carry that myself. So I think part of me felt like it was wrong to feel that way, and to feel sensitive. And so that would also make sense why I stepped into my masculine quite a lot, as a protective thing.
It's totally okay to want to look after that part of yourself that's sensitive and to protect the part that is or, you know, needs to really trust to know that someone's the right person to be vulnerable with and that they'll understand you.
Yeah.
Are you at the moment, no, that's the question, because I know the answer to that question. So obviously you set up a strategy, because you'd said that there's a little girl within you that felt that way and didn't have a way to protect herself when she was younger, and so we've got a strategy set up to protect you now. How would you like to change that strategy so that you can still feel safe, so that you can still, you know, you can be discerning around who you share the fullness of yourself with, but it doesn't require you to have to be guarded and shut down. Is there a way to create that feeling of safety?
That's a good question. I want to shift away from, again, like you said, when there's like times when it's called for and times when, you know, it's important to protect yourself. But I want to, focus on like maybe pulling away from that guardedness and in certain situations. And wait, can you repeat the question? This is getting my mind jumbled.
I can repeat the question because the question just kind of came out and I was like, I'm so... Take me back to the child that we're guarding right now. What's she feeling? Because you're guarding her, which is beautiful. What's she feeling inside behind that guard that you've got up?
I would say scared, attacked. I'm not sure why attacked has come up, but like, well, yeah, that was the first thing that came up, attacked. which is so ridiculous. Anyway, it is. Scared, attacked. Out of place. Yeah.
When did you first experience that, or what was the environment that was really anchored in her, those feelings?
When I was thinking of it, I was thinking of like primary school. So I guess around the other kids and things, or with the teachers, I'm not really sure. So that was, yeah, it's kind of like a scenario, just in general, anywhere in school. Mainly that.
And so in the environment, as you said, she didn't have a way to protect herself, and maybe she didn't actually have anyone as well to support her with what she was feeling. So if you actually, as the woman that you are now, could go back to that little girl, maybe you can actually imagine environment that she's in, you could be there with her, by her side, as someone that could actually help protect her and could reassure her or could give her what she needs in that moment. What would you say? What do you feel like she needs to hear or not?
I think that I'd probably like let her know that it's not you. Like, it wasn't like my fault, or it wasn't me doing something wrong. It could have been the experience someone else was having and just the way I was perceiving it, or like, because we kind of know that whenever we do something or we never experience something or someone else does something that's mean or whatever it may be, it comes from a place of where they're at, not where we're doing. So kind of like trying to bring that across and being like, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe this person is experiencing this or whatever, or maybe just like changing the way I view it. So rather than coming from a place of fear, coming from a place of love and understanding, which at that time I did not have.
Am I right that the meaning she created is that there's something wrong with me? Is that what she made me mean about her?
Yeah, I guess so. You could say that.
Is there...
So I think sometimes I still feel that way. And I actually brought this up the other day. I was talking with my mum, and what came up at the time, this was when I was experiencing quite a bit of contrast, and I just felt like, and I know it's not true, but I just felt like I was a horrible person, which I find it hard that I believe that sometimes, but like I felt like I was the problem. And I think part of me felt like that as a young girl as well, like I'm doing something wrong, or I'm a problem, or
That's how you internalized it, and that's the meaning you made out of the experience that you had. If you could make that meaning around what happened, if you could make it mean something different about you.
If I can make it mean something different. Can you elaborate a little bit?
You experience yourself, how these people received you, how they responded, and you made it mean there's something wrong with me, I'm a problem, I'm horrible, for example. I think they're the words you used.
Right. I think it would be like I don't know how to put this into words. Like, I have it, but I don't know how to put it into words. Like, I'm allowing myself to be surrounded by people that I don't resonate with, or I don't know how to word this. Like,
but part of the is like, okay, these aren't my people.
Yeah, like I don't have to try to fit in with people that I don't feel good around. Yeah. And that is something big that I've been working on as well recently, is like I don't have to fit in with everyone. Like I can just do me and attract what I want into my...
Because there's kind of two ways we can make what happens. So we heard what happened. You experienced a lot of negative emotions around it. You perhaps withdrew, shut down, put guards up and decided, well, I'm not going to as freely show that with myself because it's not safe. I might be rejected. What is kind of just opening up here is another possibility of like, it's almost like the more me that I am, the more clearly I get to see if these are my people or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like, yeah. And I think there's part of me that is afraid of that because I know that I will be made aware that there's a lot of people I'm surrounding myself with that may not be
your people
100% right. Which, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it for sure. And I think part of it is also I'm afraid that someone might actually get it, and me putting my guard down would actually be received well and be reciprocated. And I think part of me is also afraid of that unknown, that thing that I'm not so familiar with. And like, how do I deal with this?
Ah! For a moment, what if it wasn't something to be afraid of, but it was something to be excited about? Can that fear become
something? Oh, I think so, yeah. I just felt a little, if I focused on it, I felt like, ooh, this is cool, like curiosity and like,
Tell me, why might that be a little bit like, oh, I'd be curious about that, exciting, I want
to do that. I think because it's, if I make it a bit lighter, if it's not so heavy and if I don't attach myself and all my past to it so much, it can just be what it is in the moment. And so then it's more, I'm not sure if this word 100% fits, it's more like experimental, it's more discovering something maybe new or just being with whatever arises. And this will tie into like my June intentions as well, which is all about unexpected. So
it just also reminds me of what you're saying, because I'm actually scared of our potential, like we're scared the possibility of how things could get, how bright we could become if we meet our people and we click and they amplify us even more. Or if we clear out all that stuff that's dimming our energy, we become the brightest version of ourselves. Sometimes we're actually really scared of that. And I'm going through this for myself as well. We sit on the edge of the next level of our potential and we know we win it. But part of us is like, everything's going to kind of get real good and I'm going to get big and things are going to go to the next level and I don't know what that's going to look like, and we can get scared in that. But if we can transmit that excitement, really trust, if something is meant to fall, she's gone.
I'm back.
This is part of the process of clearing away what's not going to be in alignment with stepping into our higher selves, and we want that to happen.
Yeah, and I think there's that part of me that's afraid of letting those people in because I know what that means, you know. And what actually came up, like, I just have a question. Like, how was that, for example, with you and, like, your relationship, which is quite new, is that something that you found kind of came up when, like, you were maybe, like, letting your walls down a little bit more and letting someone in? Was that kind of a thing? Did you feel a bit guarded, or did you?
Yeah, I did, definitely. But I suppose, so I'm similar to you in that I will often have a guard to protect myself. But I do it because, like, oh, I hope this doesn't come arrogant, but like, I'm precious, you know?
Yeah.
And I also know that who I am and what I have to share isn't for everybody. And I'm so okay with that. I've come to that point. And I'm usually a little bit, I just share snippets of things about me and I watch how people respond. Relationship or with new girls that I'm meeting, I'll share a little bit about my work, my interests. If I watch them go a bit like, you know, have judgment or recoil, I'm like, okay, you don't get any more of this because you're not the person for this, and that's fine. I won't be closed as a person, but I won't reveal all my, you know, passions and all this part of me. And in the relationship, it was just really slowly. I would share parts of myself. I'd share an emotion. I'd share a vulnerable side of me. I'd share me being needy. I'd share me getting triggered about something, and I'd just watch how he would respond. And over time, when I actually watched him be very accepting and encouraging and be able to face without judgment, it allowed me to drop the walls because I was like, this person's a safe person for me to be fully me. And now I can be fully, fully me. But I think this is a way for you to feel out, okay, who are my people? And I don't know if you're really with your people right now.
Yeah.
I want to hear everything that makes you uniquely you.
Yeah, and that does make a lot of sense. And when you talked in the mastermind the other, whenever it was recently, Monday, you said something as well, like, that, like, I was ready to kind of step more into the work that I'm doing. And, like, honestly, it brought tears to my eyes because I knew that that was what was coming up. It's like, I'm working this job and I do love it, but I'm also feeling like I'm around people that don't fully understand me, and that, like, I know that there are people that do understand me because, you know, like, I've connected with you guys and I've connected with other people, and I can talk openly and I can talk freely, and it, like, the energy is just crazy. And then at work, that's when that guardedness comes up. That's when that other part of me is there, because I'm not being me because it doesn't feel safe.
This is where this really powerful reframe is for you. So again, if we can look at these experiences you're having, and instead of making it mean there's something wrong with me, instead make it mean this is my body and my intuition telling me this isn't my person. Like, these aren't my people. This isn't someone that I'm fully on the same page with, and that's okay. Let me keep feeling through as I'm meeting different people and wait until I get that yes, and they're the people, just so you can come into this group and be fully open, you know? You know this is a space now. So you can just drop into it. Everyone probably would have felt everyone out a little bit at the beginning and been like, oh, is this really a space for me to share myself? And once you realize that it was, it's just like everyone's like, hey, this is me, you know? And so it's totally okay to do that in relationships as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something for me to maybe experiment with, like, at work as well, for example, is, like you said, kind of drop little things here and there and see how people respond. Because so far part of me is very resistant to dropping anything. And so, yeah, seeing just how they respond, and if I can become an observer to that rather than emotionally, like, in the middle of it, so that if the response isn't necessarily what I'm hoping for, then it doesn't feel like that attack. Makes a lot of sense. I know I'm gonna have to rewatch this like 10 times.
Thank you for the question. It's a really, really good one. And yeah, more stuff will drop in too.
Thank you.
I think we have a one-on-one session as well.
Yeah. I've been meaning to find a time.
Sounds good. We can talk about this more then too. Thank you for your question. All right. We have Danny and Bianca to go. Just to keep adjusting the slide, it's so bright. Who would like to go next? Danielle?
Can I just say how beautiful the power of these group calls are? I just feel as though I could have asked both of those questions. I actually had, or all three of them actually, were kind of in my notes. And I think it's just so beautiful that we're actually on the journey together. So thank you, everyone. And as you probably, I was a bit distracted, but I was like, crazily writing down, Sophia, because I 100% had exactly the same thoughts, and I've been crazy judging myself lately because I'm like, why can't I just have eye contact with my best friend anymore? Like, what am I hiding from people? And it's been really scaring me, because I guess authenticity and being present and showing up as myself is so important in my relationships. And I've seen that I'm definitely hiding away, and I wasn't sure why, and I thought, there's something wrong with me, I'm hiding something, like, why can't I just be myself? And I think that was really powerful and really helpful for me as well. Yeah. I guess I did find another question though, which was good. My piece, I think I wanted to initially hide away behind the whole, I'm ready to do something, but I need to stay internal. And I feel as though I already know the answer to that. And it was kind of that top level question. I think, my real question is that I really don't want to feel like a burden to people and being seen as myself. And I think that kind of encapsulates almost everything that everyone has asked. So around from what I'm choosing to eat and how I'm spending my time to burying myself in how much more I have to study and learn before I can be my person. And even my fiance calls me out on it all the time. He's like, why do you need to learn more? Like, yeah, it's okay. Like, you keep on thinking you have to. And I'd never noticed that about myself. And then even the way I'm turning up with my friends and in relationships and things. And I guess the core of it is that not wanting to be a burden, and then because of that I then just disconnect completely. And so I'm turning up, going through the motions of work, of keeping everybody happy, and then my body and my own dreams, I guess, are left to the side. And I guess just love support around how to hold space in that really raw emotion, and where I guess the places I need to forgive myself.
When you say the words being a burden, can you tell me what that feels like to you, what that means to you, what comes up around it?
If I can keep the status quo and kind of stay in the safe lane, I guess, then if no one else's life will be impacted by my decisions. Mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. So being a burden feels like your decisions impact other people?
Yeah.
And does that have a negative impact on them?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's no matter what, it doesn't matter if I'm doing something that brings me joy or if I'm making a huge mistake. Yeah, I think during that time of speaking with Sophia, I was writing out my piece, and a lot of it, I know that it's of course grounded in family values and things, but it's like in our family, it's a belief, what's kind of like a should do thing of, if something good is happening to you or even something bad, you shouldn't tell people, you should kind of hide it away. Because you don't want to draw too much attention to yourself in that way. Sorry, I think it's okay. And that really, it came as a realization for me, because I thought it was when Kevin moved to Australia and our relationship was blooming, and I always say it, but I turned 30 and all my dreams came true. Like, my whole vision happened and I was living in my dream apartment and working on my own business and all of these things. And from then on, I started hiding myself away. So no eye contact, scared to like speak up or keep living up that dream. And then I fell into status quo corporate job and doing the right thing again. And I thought it was something wrong with me that I wasn't living my true self, or like, why do I need to hide? But it was, I think it's that fear of being happy and other people being a part of it, maybe.
What energy are you feeling in your body, particularly here?
Like a lot of tears and like suffocating feeling, like I can't really breathe.
Yeah. What are the tears about?
So weird. Not wanting bad things, or not wanting to, bad repercussions to happen to people I love. Just so weird. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Is
yeah.
Does this come from an experience as a little girl? Something I just am getting an image of a little inner child.
It definitely must be something around from when I was born. Yeah, I think even just that feeling of suffocation is this feeling of when I was born, my parents were super duper young, like 18, and there was a repercussion because of, you know, they had to grow up quite quickly and there was a bigger impact on everyone, on both families. Mm-hmm. And when I was actually born, I you know, the cord was wrapped around my neck kind of situation. And so I think that that kind of is the feeling. It's triggering. This feels really deep. I really didn't expect this.
Just trusting what's coming up and just sharing it. It's really powerful. Yeah. And what emotion that's coming up with that?
Like a failure. Like no matter what happens, I'm still, yeah, I can't change it. It's kind of this feeling of being a failure already.
Let's just take a couple of breaths into everything that's coming up. Space for you. Honey, is that true that you're a failure? Or that that event means you're a failure?
If I'm looking into myself or talking to my inner child, then no, of course not. It's like so much compassion and so much, like, you know, life is only just beginning kind of thing, and anything is possible and all of those things. But deep in my heart, it does feel hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, you know, the decisions I've made and the way life is and the way everybody sees me already is something I can't change, and it does feel suffocating a lot of the time.
Absolutely. It would absolutely feel suffocating. What just tell me, what's the opposite of feeling suffocated?
Freedom.
And what does freedom in that situation in terms of around is expression? What does freedom mean?
feeling grounded enough to follow my intuition and to follow my spirit and to just be present, I guess. Be me. Mm-hmm.
And so, like we were talking about, as you start to get that desire to do that, another part of you says, no, I can't, you know, and pulls you back. I'm going to be a burden. I feel suffocated. It's hopeless. All of that feeling. And so one option is just to continue to shrink and pull back and hide, as you've been saying, and stay quiet. What would it look like to keep leaning into, and I know this might bring out fear, but keep leaning into the part of you that wants to be free, that wants to be expressed, that wants to be herself. If you were to start navigating that in your current environment, what would that look like?
The only time I've ever felt that way in my life is when I moved overseas. Mm-hmm. And I was doing my own consultancy work and doing volunteer trips and leading groups, you know, in Mexico and different, like, really beautiful, heartfelt decisions that I didn't ask anybody about or really discuss it with anybody else. It was kind of, you know, the synchronicity in life just kind of led me to it. And I think it just feels like that complete freedom outside of home, you know, the home context. And it's funny because I probably spend more time with family but online when I'm away than I would in real life here, but I feel spiritually freer.
And what if you just to imagine bringing that version of yourself, just curious, that version of yourself that you were, that you felt, and putting her right now into the current environment that you're in?
Sorry, just cut out.
Is it possible to be her, to bring her energy in?
Yeah, at times, but a lot of the time it's when I'm completely by myself or I've been, you know, painting or creating physically, like I've been wanting to do that kind of craft piece. And then I feel really in that energy a lot more. Or when I give myself a day off and just listen in and, you know, I wake up so early compared to other days and I just feel really grounded in that. And I definitely need, when I'm away from work, from my corporate kind of demands of my job.
And what are you hearing to your family environment?
Can I say it's so ironic to have this conversation because we've just moved back to my parents' house today. Mm-hmm. I'm actually here for 2 weeks and I'm like, okay, this has got to be the next biggest lesson. How can I feel that way when I'm here? I'm trying to think. I've been feeling the feeling of more freedom at home and with my family the last few weeks. And I'm trying to think of what it is that I've been embracing more of. I think I've definitely dropped a lot of expectations that I've placed on them and the role they have in my life. And I definitely avoid speaking about things that trigger them and that seems to bring more peace, but also being more playful. I think that's been a big piece of it. That's, I'm just having more fun.
Mm-hmm. Where are you at right now as you tune into your body? What's just what's coming up? What's present? What still feels like it?
I feel really proud about how far I've come with that. To even spend a whole day with my family without me crying or, you know, a trigger happening or something has been a first for our whole family. And that has been for the last few weeks. And so I am feeling like the light at the end of the tunnel, like this is kind of the last turning point, hopefully, of the journey, the healing journey. But being able to speak up about the work I want to do in the world and what I'm creating petrifies me. That part is still shaky. But I think the foundation is being built, and that makes me feel a little more peaceful.
And even though your voice feels shaky, what would you love to be able to say or share with your parents around what you're doing with your work and what you're creating?
Just that I really feel the call to turn up in the world as myself in my own work and my own business, and to bring more beauty and love and light into whatever it is that I'm doing on my own without a boss, or without, you know, that comfortable security pay, you know, regular paycheck. And that I know it's a risk, but that I, you know, I can't deny it, and I really want to leap. And that I'm always just following my heart. And, you know, in the past when I've done that, I know it scared them, but I've always been okay. And nobody got hurt in a sense. So I'm going to try again.
Beautiful. How does it feel just to say that even to us?
Yeah, really safe.
And tying into like what I said to Sophia as well, I know for me, and I don't know if this is what is coming up for you as well, but particularly with my father, I always made the way that he reacted to me following my dreams, which I promise you he's never once supportive of it ever, even up until when he died, he still wanted me in a day job. I used to always make it mean dad doesn't support me. I just always told myself that story. He doesn't support me. He doesn't believe in me. He's trying to make me be someone else. And the more that I came to understand that actually wasn't the true meaning of it at all. That was a meaning I'd created that I was internalizing. It was more just that he felt safe when I was fitting into a box that made sense to him, you know? That was his model of the world. It made sense when a girl, when his daughter had this type of job, he would feel like a success as a father. He could rest at ease knowing his eldest daughter was okay. When I began to understand the way he would act with me, his controlling, trying to change me, not supporting me, was never about that he didn't believe in me or whatever I was telling myself. It was that he was scared just because it made him feel safe as a father, knowing that he could control me and have me doing something that made sense to him. And so that made me take away some of the, again, it brought in that compassion to understanding why he was reacting the way he was. And it made me feel more safe in expressing to him, and I would always be very understanding, like, I know this is hard for you, and I know, you would really love to have me in a job, and I appreciate your concern, but I need you to know, just like you said, this is my dream that's really important to me, and I'm committed to following my heart. And that conversation had to happen over and over and over and over. But I think changing the meaning around his response, that helped me a lot.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It definitely has been part of my learning journey. I think in this job that I'm in at the moment, it's been a big lesson I've learned. And my boss has really shown me this, that to get people on board to what you want to achieve, you need to equip them with the information they need to be able to talk to other people about it. It helps people feel safer. And my initial thought was that's kind of manipulation, but then I realized, no, actually, like, that works really well for my dad. Like, giving, he just didn't know even what to say to people about what I did at university. Like, he had no idea how to articulate that, and that meant he got triggered. And so then just by sitting down saying, you know, this is the work I do, and explaining it, then he would ask me then, how's work? And he would participate, because I had, I guess, informed him and equipped him with what he needed. And I think having that compassion for our parents, or for anybody in that, you know, we're all trying to figure it out. And we all, you know, we're all learning and growing. I think that has really helped to bridge that gap. And it has, you know, it really helped not be as much of a trigger as I had noticed before.
A really good point. If you, once you understand, yeah, what information or facts or whatever he needs to feel safe with something, and you can deliver it in that way, that's a really nice way to approach it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're a beautiful brave.
Yeah, everyone.
Beautiful. I also I just want to say I relate so much to the throat chakra stuff, and as Tauruses, that's our weak spot, so it's often a big thing that we have to work on, but also just this massive expression blah stuff that I think collectively we're all finding our voice, you know. So
yeah,
I want to empathize because it's big work.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. My pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bianca, my love, you are the last one. That's right. Yeah, everyone else is gone. Yep. Okay. That work?
Okay. First, I wanted to say to Danielle that thank you for all your vulnerability and for opening up. It's like now I'm in a different state, and for sharing your heart and crying in front of us, is like it's so beautiful. And it's also, I don't know, I think it opens something inside of myself, like things that I'm going through that are similar, like the feeling like a burden or like a failure, or the relationship with my family. And I think you, by sharing it, you create like a beautiful, heartful space. So thank you, Danielle, and you have all of our support. Okay, so now relating to my question, I always have a hard time because I don't know what to ask. It's like I'm all over the place, but I think I'm gonna go with, so since I was a child, I've always wanted to be an actress, and I always picture New York and Los Angeles, and it made me connect with the vortex, like to connect with myself and to feel all my dreams and the possibilities. And as I'm moving forward in life, it's like, I know that the day is coming closer that I'm going to go to those places, even for visiting, or when I go to live in Australia, that just thinking about Australia is like this beautiful place with spiritual people. I know not everyone is spiritual, but it's like, very connected to nature and healthy. And it's like, I don't know, when I get there, I know that there will be things I don't like about the country, about the city, about some people, as I will be rejected by people, by jobs. And it's like, so it's like, in my heart is like, this is my city, or this is my country, or this brings me to myself. So it's like, how do I keep that connection when I'm, I don't know, in the middle of a big city and everyone is having their lives and it's the city of everyone? And it's like, I don't know what the question exactly is, but it's more, isn't like that, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do I maintain my connection to that feeling? Is it when I'm, was the question while you're still in Spain or once you get to Australia?
Yeah, once I get there.
Yeah.
So just thinking about those places is my whole life has brought me to my vortex. Mm. So it makes me feel, it connects me with myself. So when I'm there, if things are not, if I'm not living in a house I really like, and I'm not having a job that I really like, and I'm surrounded by people. So if the people I'm surrounded with, the house I'm living with, I'm living in, and the job I have is not like my ideal, how do I think? So that was my escape space, but beautiful space. It's like where this, when I think about this, it's all about alignment and connection. And I'm in here, and there is no, maybe I cannot find, for me, it's very important to have, like the place I live is very important, that it's beautiful. And I think I need to manifest money in order to live in a house that is beautiful to me. So I don't know.
I understand. It's true that our environments and the things we have set up support us in our alignment. Absolutely. They, you know, if we live in a beautiful environment, if we live in a beautiful place, if we're surrounded by the people we want to be around, all of that, it definitely helps our alignment. But we all know that alignment comes from within, right? And you've identified that as these feelings and this connection and the vortex you get into. And we're most in our power when we are the source of that, not our environment, right? So mm-hmm. The only way that we can feel our alignment is if our environment's perfect, then that's going to be difficult because we're going to have to be constantly changing things and fixing things and getting rid of things that don't feel good. And so the work is always, how do we maintain our alignment and feel that almost like regardless of where we are? That's one element of it. Another element of it is that what you're going to create externally in terms of the environments you're going to find yourself in, the people, the work, the home, it's your creation, right? And it's a reflection of your alignment as well. So the more that you're actually focusing on your alignment and feeling good and imagining what you want, the more likely you'll be to create that. And it just was interesting because I feel like what's coming up a little bit is some doubt around, you mentioned money, even like, will I be able to create what I want? Like, what if I want all the stuff and I get there and then it's not like that? So there'd be some disappointment around that. So there's a few different elements here. I'm just kind of piecing them together. And I think the other thing is it feels a little bit like there's quite a lot of pressure on it as well, on this kind of dream. Like, I've been waiting for this for so long and I kind of want it to all work out and be perfect. Are there a few of the things that are going on? Just so that I'm getting clearer.
So I know that maybe at first it's not going to be like the big picture I have, but I still want it to be a beautiful a small picture.
And you can create that, and that is a beautiful intention to have. So whenever we're wanting to manifest something new, absolutely use your imagination, set the intentions, decide what you want, get clear on that, hold that standard of what you want to create. So as you're moving through reality and different opportunities come in, you can be like, no, that doesn't feel right. Yes, this does feel right. This is what I want. And you're right. Maybe there'll be the initial manifestation and then that manifestation will evolve and grow the more that you spend time there. But ultimately the trick is going to be to be able, even if initially there are challenges, to be able to maintain that feeling of that alignment that you're wanting and that connection with yourself and that good feeling, even as you're navigating it. Have you experienced that, say, where you are now or at any time in your life where maybe circumstances were challenging or weren't exactly what you wanted, but you were able to do the inner work to bring yourself to a good feeling place regardless? How do you practice that in those situations?
It depends. Sometimes it's just closing my eyes and calm myself down with inner talk. Some other times it's just by listening to a podcast or some Abraham Hicks or doing some yoga. And sometimes it's just daydreaming. That's why I love daydreaming, and I daydream about, let me say this, when I think about Los Angeles and being an actress, I just feel a huge beam of light. So you're just connecting with that.
Yeah, beautiful. And so what's the problem at the moment?
Okay, yes, as you were talking, I think it's in feeling inferior. So I imagine walking right now through the streets of New York, and it's like I feel all these pretty girls or girls with fancy clothes, and I'm just, I don't know, with my regular shoes and the clothes that I have and the body that I have, and I think that I'm not as fashionable and as confident as I would like to be when I'm walking those streets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm just feeling into it. So what's the problem there? Is it that you wouldn't be feeling as confident as you would like? Or is it that you want to be looking like the other women?
Yeah, I think it's more like confident.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes when we were talking in our session that afterwards I was reflecting, and I think that it is true that I place some of my value on my physique.
Yeah.
So if I'm not where I want to be, or if I don't look how I want to look, it's like I feel that I have less value. So in one sense, it will be confidence, like inner confidence, the ability to walk with confidence and speak with confidence. But the other part is like I feel that I'm less valuable because I'm not where I want to be, maybe with the clothes I'm wearing or with my body or with whatever.
But that feeling you were describing to me before of that beautiful alignment that you get, you know, when you're imagining and you're like, it's like just all this. That energy, that is so powerful. And we were talking about this in our session, so much more powerful than whether you're wearing the perfect shoes or whether your hair's done a certain way. I think your gift here is going to be, how do I walk through the world with that confidence and that radiance, regardless of what clothes I'm wearing or regardless of whether I look like these other women? And, you know, it's sometimes we torture ourselves as women because we put these expectations on ourselves to look like someone that we're never going to look like. Like, it's actually impossible for us to look like that person. But this is what we put on ourselves all the time as women, to say the only way for me to be beautiful or confident or as attractive is when I look like that. And so we're constantly delaying, allowing ourselves to feel how we want to feel, because we're waiting to somehow attain the standard that's completely unrealistic for us. And so I would focus, you know, if this is what you'd like to do, I'd focus more on you uniquely as a woman, what makes you incredible, not in comparison to any other woman, and you becoming the most confident, radiant, magnetic, successful, beautiful version of yourself, because there's only one of you. And every time, no wonder you won't feel confident when you walk down the street, because if you are taking your focus off you and putting it on someone else and telling yourself a story, they're so much more beautiful than me, more valuable than me, better than me, I need to be like that, your energy is going to go tiny. But what makes you feel more confident is when all your focus is on you. Okay, my only work is to become the best version of me. That's all I can do. I can't be like her. I can't be like her. Impossible. I'm going to be the best version of me. Okay, how do I become more confident, more radiant, more expansive, more joyful, more aligned? And the only measure, the only person you compare yourself to is you. It's the only way you're going to experience the confidence you're wanting to feel. All the other versions of confidence are just going to be short term. Oh, cool, I lost a couple of kilos. I feel more confident. But then it goes again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting how it is very connected to where I am right now, because I'm working online, and with the quarantine, I haven't seen only my family, but online, I don't see my students. I just hear their voices. So that made me realize that, yeah, that I feel more confident when they are not looking at me. And it's giving me a new perspective like, so not thinking also much, not thinking that much about my appearance and what they're thinking about me, if I'm pretty enough, but taking that to a side, it's just thinking about how I'm feeling, what I want to share, what I want to say. And the other day when I went out to the city center for the first time in 2 months, it was beautiful because for the first time I wasn't thinking like, they're thinking I'm beautiful. They're not thinking I'm beautiful, just strangers on the street. I was just like, I was confident. I even put on a hat that I always wanted to wear one. And I was just like, okay, maybe they whatever they believe or think about me, it may not be true because they don't know me. So they can say whatever they want about my appearance, but they don't know what you told me about when I see a guy to look through the physical appearance. So I was thinking about that, and it's like, yeah, because they know, I don't know how to express it.
We were talking about this in our session, look, like not just focusing on the appearance of someone, but looking into like someone's soul, like getting to know them, you're connecting, looking through their eyes and getting curious, who are you as a person? I want to know, you know, you. And our tendency is always to judge on the superficial and the external, but it's such a gift to see a person beyond their appearance. And ultimately, any of us who are wanting a relationship or connection, we want that from people. We don't want people just to see our appearance and judge us. We want them to look inside and know who we are. And again, this is about finding your real people. I guarantee you do not want people in your life who are there purely because of how you look. They're not the people. On your true soul people are the people who are going to see who you are on the inside and are going to say, I want to spend more time with her because she's got something about her and I want to be around that, right? And you see that all in each other. None of you care how you each other looks. You feel each other. You're inspired by what each other says and shares and your energy, and like that's what inspires us all. And they're the type of people you want in your life. And you know, there'll always be more beautiful people than you, than me, than everyone. I mean, there's a lot of really beautiful people in the world. Anything that you have, there's a lot of things they don't have that you do have. And so I think it's this whole alignment is always paying attention to, how does this make me feel? When I tell myself the story that I'm inferior, when I tell myself the story these girls are more beautiful than me, when I tell myself the story he didn't look at me and showed me I was beautiful, how does that make me feel? When I tell myself the story that I have a lot of value to add, people are inspired by me, people love being around my energy, I'm fun to be around, I'm really beautiful in my own special, unique way. I am feeling good, really good in my body today. When I tell myself those stories, how do I feel? And ultimately, finding happiness is about paying attention to how everything that you're telling yourself, how it makes you feel. And we can take the harder path and keep telling ourselves horrible stories and expect we're going to get happy. Or we can take the other path and realize the only way we're going to feel that way is if we get really conscious around how we're talking to ourselves all the time.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Connie. Yeah, yes, our talks always makes me think I'm going to keep thinking about that, but it was very helpful, like to think about, to focus more on myself and the contribution that I can make on my gifts and my talents and my light.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing, you put it perfectly. Like instead of focusing outside and in the other people, like focusing on my light.
Yeah. And there is, when you have that really deep self-connection, like there is just such a solid, unshakable confidence to that. You know, like a lot of the confidence you might see out there is probably fake confidence. Anyone can feel confident if they make themselves look really beautiful. But true confidence is when you're so deeply connected to yourself and loving and valuing who you are as a person. You just walk through the world with such a different energy about you. Completely different.
Yeah, I'm going to keep thinking about, yeah, I never put it that way, like the confidence you get when you feel beautiful. Okay, you can feel beautiful, no? And you feel more confident because you look what you're seeing. But it's like, do you still have that inner confidence inside of yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Connie.
Another confidence, to be honest, it's just your ego. Your ego loves validation. You guys' attention. That's not the real you, right? There's another part of you inside of you that has a very different way that she accesses confidence. It doesn't come from any of that external stuff.
Yes, it's like there is a stillness and peacefulness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Connie.
Pleasure. Is that helpful?
Yes. Yes, it was totally helpful.
That beautiful share, I appreciate it. All right, loves, this has been a big, long call. Let's go around and get just a final word to let me know and let us all know how you're feeling as we're wrapping up the call today. I'd love to know. See if I can, who would like to go? Amanda, was that you?
Hello. Yeah, I guess I feel inspired after that fantastic, ladies. Thank you so much. Everyone's been so beautiful. I think I just wanted to, after Bianca was talking there, I could really relate to, I think one of the questions in the last class was, how do you want to feel as you are, I think, working towards your long-term vision? And choose 3 to 5 feeling words, Connie, that's what you said. And I've actually stuck my thing up because, I've been having to deal with a lot of my issues of being confident to talk with people confidently about my music, and so that's a natural fear of mine to think, oh, I'm not going to be good enough and blah blah blah. But I said my words were inspired, joyful, empowered, loving, grounded, and thankful. Okay, I did 6. Mm-hmm. But I've just put them on my wall, and so when I have to make a call or I have to have that contact with people that scare me, I look at it and I actually take those on and I feel a completely different person. That's who I want to be. And that's what I'm trying and thankful and all those things that I have there. And I think, yes, that's who I actually am. I've aligned with that. Mm. And that's how I go into those calls or those meetings or those whatever it is, you know. So that's been really, really helpful. So, yeah.
That's so beautiful. That's just like, if you can look at those words, you can just take a couple of breaths and almost embody those qualities and then bring them into what you're doing.
Yeah, that's oh, really nice.
Thank you, Amanda. That's an awesome thing to take on. Mm-hmm. Love it. Who else wants to share how they're feeling? Oh, Bianca, you're still unmuted. Do you want to share how you're feeling?
Yeah, I think I'm feeling both light, like full of light and peaceful, like calm.
Beautiful. So good. Who else wants to share how they're feeling? Danielle?
So 2 things. One is a huge vulnerability hangover, obviously, because I'm like, where did that come from?
Your vulnerability is beautiful, so beautiful.
Like, yeah, my mind is like, you totally, my heart hijacked that one. So yes, feeling a little raw. But my heart is definitely feeling, I feel really cleansed in a sense, like that real deep connection again. So thank you. And I might share my 5 words as well, seeing Amanda set us off with that. Mine are joy, freedom, beauty, bright white, and beloved. Am I? Feelings that I try to embody every day. And when I'm feeling, I guess, a little disconnected or lost, I sometimes just write them out and like, what's one thing I can do against those to kind of get that feeling back again. But yeah, that's that's mine.
Good. Thank you. Awesome. Who would like to ask to share how they're feeling, ladies? Yeah, mute. How are you feeling, love?
I'm feeling, I heard some echo because I have my cell phone. I put the audio on my cell phone. Can you still hear me? Okay. Like there's still some echo, so I'm gonna do very shorter. I feel pretty confident about my future. I know that it's going to be a long process, so I do not put a lot of pressure, you know, to finish all the 10 lessons, master classes. I took my time, but I'm pretty sure that I will finish. And sometimes I go back to older master class, and it helped me to find other answers. So yes, it's gonna be slow, but surely, I don't know. We have an expression in French that says slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And yes, if I have few words, it's gonna be just three words. It will resonate with crayon. Because crayon is the, I would say, the brand or the name of my project. So it's in French, it's crayon, like in English, I will say so, but it sounds also as create. So create, crayon, and rayon. So it's in English, that means shine, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it's create, crayon, and shine yourself out. Something like that. So, and I try to, it help, really helped me to, sometimes I feel like I have less energy. And I think just about crayon, it helped me to move forward. And so.
Beautiful. Wow, what a beautiful word to use as your guiding word, because it has so many gorgeous meanings to it. But yeah, these words are incredible, and we focus on them. You're right. They change our energy and they help us move forward. Thank you. And Sophia, finally, how are you feeling?
Right. Okay. I was getting a very, like, a feeling in my, like, just openness in my heart space. Yeah, and I feel like there's just been a lot of processing and unfolding, especially like talking through what we talked through. And I don't have specific words for it exactly now, but it's a new feeling. And I feel like I'm creating a new feeling within myself, and it's a positive one. I think giving myself some time to let that form and unfold and, yeah, show up will be interesting. So check in with me in a couple of weeks.
The fact that it's a new feeling, new things are starting to shift and put themselves together inside of you, and maybe then eventually it'll bubble up and you'll have the clarity what it is. But for now, just try the process, I think.
Yeah. For now it's just openness in my heart space, and yeah.
Well, thank you, all of you beautiful women. Your shares today, just absolutely beautiful. I honor each of you for the journey that you've been on so far and everything that you have created and achieved and looked at within yourself and showed up for and done the work on. And as I said, have I sent you the, what did I say? Maybe it's in the workbook, I haven't sent you yet, but this is just the beginning. I feel like you've all done beautiful foundational work, that this is almost like the launching off point now for all of the beautiful prep work you've been doing through this journey. But thank you for your hearts. This journey so much, and for your authenticity and your realness and your courage and your commitment. I've absolutely loved leading you through all of this. So this is our last coaching call, but we have the bonus call in a bit over a week, and I'll still be fully active in our Facebook group up until the end of June. So come in for a video for June. And let's just keep supporting each other. You're all, yeah, incredible at holding space and supporting each other. So well done for that, and thank you for that too. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, loves, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Bye.
Bye.